Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, April 8th, is the fifth day in the octave of Easter. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis calls for new and creative forms of political and economic participation so that a better world might emerge from the pandemic. The Vatican teams up with Harvard University to host a symposium on preventing and healing the sexual abuse of children. And the church in East Timor is leading relief efforts to assist victims of devastating floods and landslides. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis has sent a letter to the World Bank Group and the International Monetary Fund as they begin their virtual spring meetings. In his missive, the Pope stresses the importance of developing a more just and equal society for all. Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis opened his letter by noting that as the groups meet this spring, it is his hope that their discussions may contribute to a model of recovery from the COVID-19 pandemic, capable of assisting individuals and communities to achieve their deepest aspirations and the universal common good. Pope Francis went on to note that for all our deeply held convictions that all men and women are created equal, many of our brothers and sisters in the human family are effectively excluded from the financial world. The pandemic, he continued, has reminded us that no one is saved alone. The Pope then noted that many countries are consolidating a recovery plan for COVID, but that there remains an urgent need for a global plan that will give poorer and less developed nations an effective share in decision-making and facilitating access to the international market. Pope Francis then noted that we can neither overlook the ecological debt that exists especially between the global North and South. We are in fact in debt to nature itself, he said, as well as the people and countries affected by human-induced ecological degradation and biodiversity loss. Bringing his letter to a close, the Pope said that it is time to acknowledge that markets do not govern themselves. Markets need to be underpinned by laws and regulations that ensure they work for the common good, guaranteeing that finance works for the societal goals so much needed in the context of the present global healthcare emergency. And finally, the Pope expressed his hope that in these days of formal deliberations and personal encounters, the two organizations will bear much fruit from the discernment of wise solutions for a more inclusive and sustainable future, a future where finance is at the service of the common good, where the vulnerable and the marginalized are placed at the center, and where the earth, our common home, is well cared for. I am Francesca Merlo.
In a message to religious leaders, scholars, and experts from various fields participating in the international symposium, Faith and Flourishing, Strategies for Prevention and Healing Child Sexual Abuse, Pope Francis on Thursday expressed his support and hope for their work to eradicate what he described as this profound evil. The three-day symposium is a landmark event organized by Harvard University in partnership with the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors and the Catholic University of America. It kicked off on April 8th, the day organizers hope will soon become the World Day of Child Sexual Abuse Prevention, Healing, and Justice. In his message to participants, the Pope expressed his trust that by bringing together religious leaders, scholars, and experts from various fields in order to share research, clinical and pastoral experiences, and best practices, the symposium will contribute to a greater awareness of the gravity and extent of child sexual abuse and promote more effective cooperation at every level of society in eradicating this profound evil. Professor Jennifer Wortham with Harvard University is chairing the symposium.
The conference is addressing child sexual abuse across all faith communities, even in the broader community at large. We do have several segments that are dedicated to presentations on child sexual abuse in a faith setting. We have also included specifically about the Catholic Church and in one or two of the sections. But overall, it's really a conference that's focused on the overall issue of child sexual abuse and engagement of the faith community in helping to prevent and heal victims that have been impacted by child sexual abuse, whether it be at home or in a school or whether it's through a scouting organization or a day camp. We're looking at ways that faith leaders can become better engaged in the process of healing and prevention.
You felt the pain of clerical sexual abuse in your own family. Can you tell us a little bit about this terrible experience and how it may have shaped you?
Yes, in the mid-90s, my family discovered that both of my brothers had been molested by our parish priest when they were young. It began when they were around 10 years old and lasted for 3 or 4 years. And it was a very traumatic experience for my family. I actually left the church. My mother as well left the church. And we struggled, and my brother struggled for many, many years with the effects of the abuse. And unfortunately, when we reported it to the church, the experience for us was very unpleasant. In 2015, I was struggling with some personal issues, and I went to a Catholic church that was close to my home. I haven't been in a Catholic church for probably about 20 years. And while I was there, I had a really strong inspiration, I would say, to forgive the people that were involved in my situation and to let go of that trauma. And as I sat in the church after I prayed the rosary, I had an overwhelming sense of peace. And I looked around the church and recalled all of the wonderful times that I had spent growing up in the church with my family. And I felt like I was home.
That was Professor Jennifer Wortham speaking with Vatican Radio's Devin Watkins. In world news, flash floods and landslides caused by heavy rains have killed over 42 people and displaced almost 10,000 more in East Timor, according to the United Nations. The church in the tiny Catholic nation has been on the front lines bringing relief to the victims of the floods, many of whom have been accommodated in church facilities. Robin Gomes has the latest.
Heavy rains from 29th March to 4th April caused by tropical cyclone Seroja triggered devastating flash floods and landslides in a cluster of islands in southeast Indonesia and in Timor-Leste or East Timor. A total of 8 municipalities were affected in Timor-Leste, with the capital Dili and the surrounding low-lying areas the worst affected. Citing official figures by the Secretariat of State for Civil Protection, the United Nations resident and humanitarian coordinator for Timor-Leste said a total of 42 deaths were officially registered as of Wednesday, including 13 who are still missing and presumed dead. The office of Roy Trivedi, the UN resident coordinator in Timor-Leste, said that a total of 2,375 households, or 9,779 people, were in the 8 official evacuation facilities in Dili. There were many more displaced, including women and children, in informal evacuation sites across the city. Many of the displaced have found refuge in church facilities. About 2,000 are currently being sheltered in a center run by the Salesians in Komoro, on the outskirts of Dili, and another 7,000 are being assisted in the parish of the Immaculate Conception in the capital. The Timorese Episcopal Conference has mobilized all priests and religious to meet the most immediate needs. "We urgently need food and clothes," Father Angelo Salcina, head of the Special Pastoral Task Force for COVID-19 in the Archdiocese of Dili, told UK News. In a meeting with the Civil Protection, Prime Minister Thaun Mathan Ruak thanked all agencies involved in the relief efforts, including religious organizations. The government has ordered a relaxation of COVID-19 restrictions to facilitate relief operations and the transport of materials for the reconstruction of homes. I am Robin Gomes.
Elsewhere, Irish and British political leaders have condemned Wednesday night's violence on the streets of Belfast, saying the only way to resolve differences is through dialogue. Lydia O'Kane has this report.
They are scenes that many thought had been consigned to history, but Wednesday night's violence in Belfast demonstrated just how fragile peace can be. In a fourth night of unrest, rioters set a hijacked bus on fire and a press photographer was attacked. Youths were seen throwing petrol bombs at police in the loyalist Shankill Road, with disturbances also taking place in the nationalist Springfield Road area of the city. The violence has been condemned across the political spectrum. In a tweet, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson appealed for calm and said he was deeply concerned at the scenes of violence, while Irish Foreign Minister Simon Coveney described the unrest as deeply disturbing and called on Northern Ireland's political and community leaders to work together to ease tension. Northern Ireland's First Minister Arlene Foster of the Democratic Unionist Party and Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin both condemned the disorder and attacks on police. Northern Ireland's power-sharing executive was due to meet on Thursday to be briefed on the latest unrest, as well as the disturbances that took place over Easter in other parts of the region. The Police Federation for Northern Ireland has warned that the violence could set society here back years, while the Chief Constable of the Police Service, or PSNI, Simon Byrne, said he was open to dialogue with anyone who was willing to work with him to resolve the issues facing the community. The unrest over the past week is being blamed on a number of issues, including the Northern Ireland Protocol contained in the Brexit deal, as well as loyalist anger over a public prosecution service decision not to prosecute people who attended the large-scale funeral of Republican Bobby Storey in June 2020 during coronavirus restrictions. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
Finally, Pope Francis has sent a handwritten note to a Spanish Catholic weekly after receiving a record of his participation as one of the faithful nighttime adorers who prayed at the Basilica of the Blessed Sacrament in his home country, Argentina. Father Benedict Maiocchi has the story.
Pope Francis has sent a letter to Spanish Catholic newspaper Alpha and Omega after receiving a photo of a record from the 1950s with his name and a number. The record indicated that as a young man, Pope Francis was one of the many faithful who made regular visits to the Basilica of the Blessed Sacrament in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to pray at night alongside his brother Oscar and a neighbor. In his handwritten note to the Catholic Weekly, the Pope said that he was moved by the photocopy of the book on nocturnal adoration of the Basilica of the Blessed Sacrament. Speaking for the first time on this aspect of his life, the Pope remembered that between the years of 1954 and 1955, he would often go by bus to the Basilica from his home in the Flores neighborhood in the outskirts of Buenos Aires. He said that it was there that he heard the phrase Venite Adoremus, which means come let us adore. As the nocturnal adoration was done in turns, the person from the previous shift would often wake up the next person with the words Venite Adoremus to remind them to go for the hour of adoration. The Pope also recounted that at that time, he was already living a Christian life, or as he describes it in the letter, he already had the experience of St. Joseph of Flores, which was the name of the parish the Pope attended as a youth. He further added that the adoration began at 9 o'clock at night after the preaching of Father Aristi. Pope Francis, in a meeting with priests in Rome in March 2014, explained that Father Aristi was his confessor and a good example of a merciful priest. Father Jose Ramon Aristi served as a provincial in his order and was a professor. He was also a well-known confessor and often had long queues of people waiting for him at the Basilica of the Blessed Sacrament. Further emphasizing the importance of mercy to the priests in his meeting with them in Rome, Pope Francis said that whenever an uncharitable thought crosses his mind, he touches a little cloth bag that he carries, which contains the cross once attached to the rosary with which Father Aristi was buried. And in that moment, he feels the grace and he feels the benefit, because the example of a merciful priest who draws close to wounds does a lot of good. I'm Father Benedict Maiocchi.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Many thanks go to our producers and technicians in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.